Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like this.
What's going on, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, makers, artists, writers, filmmakers, designers, and coders who are on a mission of bringing their ideas to life by creating new things and getting their work to work. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative life for some time, I hope you'll learn something new in this podcast, challenge your assumptions about what is possible, and chase big ideas so you can become who you were born to be. I had so many plans for this episode, and they all fell apart. I thought about special interviews or a retrospective episode with my favorite quotes from past episodes. I tried to schedule my heroes for a quick conversation. I thought about sharing words from the audience about what they've learned from the show. Instead, what arose from the ashes of my expectations was a reflection on what the past 3 years and 300 episodes has done for my life and work. There have been some awesome moments, but what I've enjoyed most has been exploring the imperfections, the botched edits, the missed calls, the awkward pauses, and the totally uninspired moments. This is where growth occurred. I found my voice in the willingness to make mistakes and keep moving forward. Show notes and links to resources mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/300. You'll also find links to stream the show on the major podcast platforms and an opportunity to sign up for my email newsletter, The Curiosity Lab. Each week, I send out some thoughts on curiosity along with books, videos, podcasts, and other resources blowing my mind as well. It's hard to believe that here we are at episode 300 of Getting Work to Work. And I begin the 300th episode with a quote from David White's book, The Three Marriages, Reimagining Work, Self, and Relationship. He writes, "In a very personal way, we are marrying not only a person's ability to love and take care of us, but also that person's particular species of selfishness and particular form of egotism. It is only a question of time before these appear. One of the tests of finding the right person is to ask ourselves if this is the particular form of selfishness and egotism we can live with. Considering the difficulties of marriage, we might post the question on a grander scale and ask if this is the particular form of insanity we can live with. A sign of possible success is our ability to answer in the affirmative. It means the chemistry is right, and also that we are looking not for perfection in our partner, but for a mutual exploration of imperfections." While White is talking about marriage with another person, I can easily read this in the context of work. Am I willing to not look at perfection in my work, but instead explore imperfections with my work as I embrace its particular form of insanity? As I reflect on the last 3 years and 300 episodes of this podcast, this quote really speaks truth into what I have learned doing something every week with at times a religious and dogmatic fervor. Selfishness, check. Egotism, without a doubt. Insanity, you better believe that it's crazy at times to continually pursue a podcast because there are so many of them out there and so many voices already saying some of the things that I say. But I can't see myself at this time not producing this show because I still have so much to learn. I can see the cracks in the veneer, the imperfections, and that is what I love. Can I live with this? Can I live with this work? Absolutely. Yes, affirmative. The chemistry, as White writes, is right. I have finally relaxed into being an explorer of imperfections. I just love that statement, explorer of imperfections. When I started 3 years ago, I didn't know what I was doing. I knew that I could edit video. I've edited a lot of videos, but I didn't think that an audio-only show would be that as hard as producing videos, so I thought, technically speaking, this should be easier. I had to overcome the fact that I didn't like the sound of my voice, and here's where that egotism gets into the way. I actually enjoy the sound of my own voice now. Oftentimes, I worried that I would run out of things to say. I had a friend ask me one time, like, what happens if you repeat yourself, or contradict yourself, or run out of things to say? Well, some days I just couldn't find anything to say. But somehow, miraculously, I found those words at the last minute, it seemed at times. The art was made. It shared. And the episode sometimes landed with a combination of internal triumph and external crickets. Sometimes I'd hear something about its impact. Other days, I heard absolutely nothing. I looked at the stats and worried. I read blogs on how to get my numbers up. I obsessed over these damn statistics and shares and the validation that positive metrics would bring me. The elusive sponsorship, the elusive monetization of a podcast, a labor of love. Then, somewhere along the line, while I was still checking the stats, they didn't quite mean as much. Maybe White is right when he says, very few particular days are actually preserved unique unto themselves in the amber of memory. In many ways, the settled intensity of a good work is very similar. From the outside, very little seems to be happening. But in good work, we return every day to the desk or the workbench, or if I may add, the mic, to push it along a little further. Each episode, I learn something new. It might be a topic that I'm wrestling with. It might be a conversation with someone that I've never met before. And this knowledge that I learn, it might be the size of a mustard seed or the size of a planet, but it's there. And I continue on because, as White writes, in good work, we occupy a frontier between what has been done and what is about to be done, both giving almost an equal sense of satisfaction. I have a massive sense of satisfaction in the fact that I have produced 300 episodes over 3 years, met some new friends, and learned a ton. But you know what? I also see a vision of what is to come, and all of these things bring tremendous satisfaction. So it's in this sense of satisfaction I thought I would share 5 lessons I've learned over 300 episodes and 3 years. First, flexibility is everything. For this episode alone, I had several interviews I tried to line up, schedules fell through, and they didn't happen. And at first, I was disappointed, then frustrated, because the reality is that schedules shift and change, especially when you're trying to connect with busy people. It's one thing when it's just me, but when I'm trying to converse with other people, it's really hard at times to get that scheduled. Interest also comes and goes. Not only interest from the audience, but interest from myself. Sometimes the topics are on the tip of my tongue. And other times I wrestle the topic from somewhere and wrestle it down into my notepad so that I can record something. And these ideas at times seem to come from nowhere or in the pages of a book like David White's book. And the goal remains the same every time. Release the episode. And this is where imperfections lie. In the rush to come up with plan Z, not to mention A through Y, mistakes are made. And at first I wasn't okay with that, but now I am. I roll with them and hopefully learn something in the process. Because outside of the podcast world, I've grown a lot more comfortable with letting things unfold naturally. And for that alone, I am extremely grateful because I have been a miserable creative professional in the past. I held on to my camera. I held on to my craft so tight that I strangled the life out of my passion and my creative pursuits. because I was inflexible as possible. And it's this flexibility that I've learned that I'm going to continue to learn as I continue producing through episode 400 and beyond. Second, the show is a mutual exploration between myself and the audience. Somewhere along the line, I think I read something where you need to figure out who your audience is and speak directly to them. But what's interesting is I have to share not only to an audience where I've been and where I'm going, but first I just have to say it so that I have a sense of processing where I've been and where I'm going. So without what's going on in my brain, I don't know if I'd be able to connect to an audience. And that's what the monologues are really pulled from. It's pulled from all of the thoughts and emotions and experiences that I've had in my career. But then with the interviews, I have to talk with the people who inspire me. I have to have conversations with people so that I can continue to bring sources of information in and really get drawn into other people's stories. And I have to share all of the stuff that's going on and hope that the result is that people will listen and share, not only with others, but with me when they're impacted by it. One of the things that I hear constantly is that there's a segment of the audience that only listens to the monologues. And at first, that really bugged me. It made me felt like I was doing something wrong, like I was wasting my time in this other area because all they wanted was the monologue because they wanted to know my thoughts. And it just, on some level, was just crushed. But then I realized that there are more audiences than that. There are multiple audience segments. Yes, there are the few and the many that listen to the monologues. Awesome. But some only listen to the interviews. And some just see, like, and comment on the artwork on social media. And some only participate as interview subjects. Some reach out, some stay silent, and all of these forms of interaction and participation is what getting work to work is all about. Remove one, and the dynamic created by all of them breaks down, and this is where imperfections live. They live in the questions of doubt, the questions of, am I serving too many masters? Am I hoping that I can convert one audience segment to another? Or will I just realize that all of these segments align with my own obsessions and imperfections? Third, it takes time to reveal imperfections and grow in spite of them. Stats go up, stats go down. They tell me that people are listening or not. Beyond that, they tell me absolutely nothing. They don't reveal anything about imperfections or my growth over time. But when I look back over 300 episodes, 189 monologues, and 111 interviews, I am a lot more knowledgeable in this craft of podcasting, but I still have so much to learn. Sure, in the beginning, I knew nothing, but I didn't really know anything about what my imperfections were because I hadn't started. But now, as I talk into the microphone alone, and as I talk with people in the context of a podcast conversation, I have so much to offer. The past imperfections have become strengths of confidence. And when I talk to people in the context of whether it's this show or want to help them bring their own show to life, I have so much confidence to bring to them, so much knowledge, so much learning that they can learn from as well. And it's all because of time. Yeah, I could have taken a course and I could have read more blog posts, but you know what? It was the action over time which really made this show what it is today. From where it started. Which leads me to the question, what does the future look like? Because fourth, a vision for the future, something bigger and self-sustaining financially, would be awesome. And it's in the back of my mind, but it still comes down to the reality that I need to produce one episode at a time, 3 times a week. And it's an evolution from when I started. I didn't know if I could actually fill 10 minutes of time when I started on episode 1. And I'm already pushing 16 minutes now. The structure, thankfully, has remained the same. But what has changed is me. When I go back and listen to earlier episodes, I hear doubt. I hear a lack of confidence. But what I feel now more than anything is I'm a lot more confident in myself and in my ability to connect with others. I don't know if I really had a plan when I started, which is a lot like other areas of my life and business. And I still don't really have a plan, because I'm curious to see where things will be in another 300 episodes. Yes, I plan on doing another 300 episodes. Because I'm not done learning yet. I still have so much to learn. There's so many books to read in this world. There's so many shows to watch. There's so many people to talk to. And why not continue this on until I tap out and can't do anymore? I guess it comes down to fifth, and finally, that learning to relax and embrace imperfections is the biggest lesson I've learned of them all. Learning to relax. I have wanted at times this show to be perfect. I edit stumbles out. I try to smooth things over in conversations. I try to make people sound awesome the best that I can in my understanding. And that at times has made me really miserable. And I wasn't willing to embrace imperfections. I felt that if someone heard an imperfection, they would leave. But you know what? It's the imperfections that really bring about a sense of humanity and a sense that you're connecting with a real person sitting in his work office at home while the neighbor's mowing his lawn. And that's beautiful. I love it. And here's a thought that learning to relax and embrace imperfections really is about, is that I learn every single day. I'm reading, journaling, watching, listening, and talking with people, because learning is a priority for my life. But sharing that knowledge and the journey that I am on is my particular brand of exploration into imperfections. So as we near the end of this episode, a question that I'm thinking about is, how will the show end? That might be a question everyone has when they're working on an ongoing project that doesn't seem to have an end in mind. The answer is, I don't know how the show will end. Maybe I'll get tired and just stop one day. Maybe I'll run out of money and can't afford the hosting and it just goes down. Maybe my wife and I will sing a duet of The Neverending Story, and then just that'll be it. But I don't know, because I don't care how it ends. I'm just loving every single minute of this. As the 300th episode of Getting Work to Work comes to an end, I want to speak directly to those of you who listen to this show that want to create something and are stuck or scared. I've talked with students, I've talked with professionals. Maybe it's starting a podcast of your own, maybe it's starting a YouTube channel, maybe it's doing a film, whatever it is. If you're stuck and scared, this moment is for you. In the first episode of this podcast, Screw It, Do It, I called it that because when you create something, you get scared. You start wondering, what are people going to think about me? What will they say about what I'm creating or who I am? These invisible people are going to tear me apart. And the reality is, most people don't say anything at all. 99% of the feedback is promising and positive, and the smallest portion is critical feedback. So don't worry about what people are going to say. Maybe you aren't afraid, but struggling to find the right stuff for your work, the right voice, the right story, the right whatever. the validation that you are what you are meant to be. And guess what? That's what's going to keep you stuck. Paralysis analysis, overthinking. You know what? Find your voice, own your voice, and then say to yourself, your friends and family, and the whole world, screw it. I'm going to do it. But here's the truth. That's only part of it. Because then you have to go do it. And guess what? It's possible. It's absolutely necessary, and we need you. And I'm saying that with 300 episodes behind me. I didn't think the world needed my voice. And I've come to learn that some people have really enjoyed hearing from me, but I needed my voice over 300 episodes because it has revealed who I am as a person, and I just continue to share that with others in the hope that you'll go out there and do what you want to do and become who you were born to be. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.